I'm speaking at the moment about fruitfulness because that's the word God gave me for not every year, but many years. The Holy Spirit will say something to me around the change of the year about what I believe God wants to do in the new season. It's not necessarily the year, but it's a new season. And this year, I believe God is saying that 2018, many people, and I've spoken to this, and it's sort of been verified by experience, many people felt their life was pruned, that they had things cut off and they were disciplined and chastened and God dealt with them about things. But the message I preached on last week about fruitfulness and the vine, when God prunes us, it's not a punishment, but it's a fact that we have been fruitful previously in our lives, and he prunes us so that we can become more fruitful. So if you had a difficult year last year and God was dealing with you and removing stuff from your life, praise him. He's got a purpose for you. He wants you to be fruitful. And in the whole of Scripture, there are major things that God's distinctions. And the whole of the Bible speaks about there's only two types of people. There is lost and there is saved. So if you know Jesus Christ and you've come to the cross and received his forgiveness and been reconciled to the Father, you're saved. If that's been genuine, you're saved and nothing can snatch you out of your hand. And there's people, whoever is not in that position, they're not good or bad or anything. They're just lost. That's how the Bible speaks. They're just lost because they haven't found the grace of God yet. That's how we see them. We don't see them anything else, just lost. They don't know which way to go. They don't know what to do with life. They don't know why they're here. They are just lost people. But when we come to Christ, we start to realize why we're given life, why we're born, why we're loved. So they're the distinctions. The second distinction, though, God wants us to know about, there's the saved, there's lost. But having become a Christian, there are the fruitful and there are the barren. And it's really, really very important. If you go through all the scriptures, it's really important that we understand the importance that, as I spoke last week, Jesus said in John 15, 16, you didn't choose me. You didn't choose Jesus. He chose you. He sent the Holy Spirit after you. And the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin, that you needed forgiveness, that Christ, he showed you Christ was the Savior, the Messiah, but he did the choosing. It's wonderful. It's all by grace. He chose you for the purpose and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. That fruit comes by prayer, by whatever you ask in my name, my Father will do it. And there are many other scriptures, I'll just read a few of them, that speaks about the importance of bearing fruit. If you go to 2 Peter, 2 Peter says this in chapter 1. For this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 3 speaks about let all people learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they not be unfruitful. And so Christ laid hold of us that we be productive. In the very first part of the Bible, when God puts Adam and Eve in the garden, he says, I've created you to be blessed. It says in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. And when he blessed them, he said, be fruitful and multiply. So God has created us and designed us that our lives be blessed by him, and that blessing will produce productivity and fruitfulness. That's how we're designed to be. And that what the Bible speaks about, fruit in our lives, it's everything to do with Jesus. It's everything to do with the life of Jesus becoming manifest in and through us. That is, when we start producing fruit, we have victory over sin. May not come straight away, but long term. Some things are a battle. Some things, it's like going up a mountain. You don't go straight up. But overall, you start seeing year after year, I'm getting victory in my life over sin. That's fruit. Second part of fruit, the Bible speaks about fruit of the Holy Spirit: peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness. Your character starts to change. The Holy Spirit starts to work in you from inside out and start to change you in the life of, into the likes of Christ. So your character begins to change. You see yourself changing. And if you haven't changed for 5 years, there's a problem. There's a problem. And then the third part of fruit is ministry. It's doing the works. So many people have misunderstood the doctrine of works. People, everything's by graces. There's no works. But Jesus says, that the Word of God says that we have been saved, that we become the workmanship of God. And be careful of having a dead faith, because it says faith without works is dead. Jesus chose us to make us holy, to change us into his likeness, but also to do the ministry that he did, to help others, to bring others into the kingdom, to bring others into salvation, to love others, to be used by him so that we be in partnership with him, extending the kingdom of God from heaven to earth. So that's what the fruit that he wants to see produced. And it's really important. This is what God was saying to me on the way home from Uganda, where, praise God, there was much fruit produced. There's so many salvations produced. And I want to tell you, you're in a fruit-producing church. But God spoke to me about this. A certain man, Jesus spoke a parable, had a fig tree planted in a fig yard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit in this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said, sir, let it alone this year, until I dig around it, fertilize it, and if it bear fruit, well, if not, after that you can cut it down. Of course, Jesus was speaking about the Jews, and the problem with the Jews is that they had a dead faith. They believed they were the people of God. They were chosen, they were saved, they were God's people, but they didn't produce justice. They didn't live any different to anyone else in the world. They became just like the nations. They became idolatrous. They became greedy, but they used all the Christian language. I want to speak to you about be careful of living a fruitless Christian life, because all the way through the Bible, I look at this, there are people that at the end, they're going to say, Lord, and he said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. And this parable speaks about the importance of being fruitful, because if we're not fruitful, John 15 speaks about branches that are not connected anymore, being cut off and burned in the fire. This one speaks about the vineyard being dug up and chucked away because it's no good. And it's important that we're fruitful, because at the end of John 15, Jesus links fruitfulness to joy. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that you be fruitful, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The most joyful people are people who are productive for God. I'll tell you, you can have $10 million. If you're not productive for God, you may have temporary happiness, which depends on circumstances. But the joy which abides comes from being connected to God, who's the vine, we being the branches, drawing from his life and the Holy Spirit. And as long as you're connected to Jesus Christ intimately and vitally, you will have joy. And you don't need things. And joy and peace are worth multiples of anything material. So it's important that we be fruitful, because Jesus says, if we're not, we'll be cut off, but also that fruitfulness is connected to joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So God wants us to experience and be fruitful by having our relationship with the vine. We are the branches. Sometimes he prunes us. But you know, God is, in that parable of the vine, is called the husbandman. That means the husbandman in a vineyard is the one who tenders to the vines, who keeps the vineyard and the plants. And there is nothing that makes the husbandman, the one who keeps the vineyard, more happy than seeing fruit. When he comes into the vineyard, there's nothing that makes God more happy than seeing fruit produced on your life. So being fruitful is not only vital to you, but it's also vital to God. It's what makes God most joyful about our lives. And Jesus spoke about a time where he walked into Jerusalem and he looked for fruit on a tree, And he saw these pretty leaves, but no fruit. And he cursed it. I just want to say, you can be a Christian like that. You can be a Christian that carries your Bible. You can be a Christian that it looks, you look good. You look good, but it's just superficial. And you know inside. I've been in that state once. I was in that state for 18 months. I was completely dead. Completely backslidden. And it's a dangerous place. But if you're in that place yourself, I want to tell you, listen to the word today. Because you must be productive. God chose us to be productive. I want to speak just a couple of things today because I believe this year is going to be a year of fruitfulness. How God will produce that, what will produce that. I want us to turn, first of all, to Psalm 92. I'm going to speak from the Psalms today. Two Psalms I'm going to take related to bearing fruit. Last week I spoke about connectivity with the vine, which is Jesus. You know, this is a psalm about revival. I only want to read the last part of it. From verse 10 of Psalm 92. It's a picture of revival. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire and my enemies. My ears hear my desire and the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be flourishing, fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That is such a picture of revival, of people that are honored. My horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been freshly anointed. That's what God wants you to do, not having an anointing, a power of the Holy Spirit from yesterday. He wants to be someone who has a testimony that though you have enemies, they don't prevail against you. They could be spiritual enemies, physical enemies. They rise up against me, but God defeats them and I flourish. My life flourishes like a palm tree. I flourish even in old age. I'm still bearing fruit. I'm still productive. I'm flourishing. I'm flourishing. My life is continuing to grow and things are continuing to be strong and I'm continuing to be fruitful. And what is the key to it all? He says, because I am, there it is right there in verse 12, those who are planted in the house of the Lord. I want to tell you, there's a generation today that don't think coming to church is important. The church is not an organization. It is an organism. We are the body of Christ. When you come to church, you connect with people filled with the Holy Spirit. I am a thumb. You are a hand. And we all need one another. And there's something mystical and great about the church that loves and lives for each other. And when you come into a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, there is a river in that church. The Holy Spirit is called a river. And it says, there is a river that makes the city of God glad. If you come to a church which is filled with the Holy Spirit and simply plant yourself, that means commit yourself to it, your life will change. The most important thing about you, I always say to people, before you find a job, find a church which has got the Holy Spirit moving in it. Find the church before you find the job. Because if you find a church which is full of the Holy Spirit, when you go to a prayer meeting, you get filled up, your life will be blessed, your life will prosper, you'll be fruitful. Even in old age, you'll be productive. But so many people got the wrong attitude of the church. You go, they say, I don't need to be part of the local church. I don't need to commit to the local church. I go here and go. The people leave so easily. And I've watched over and over again, and I'm not being critical, but people who church skip end up unproductive. There is something about being committed, and it's being committed. The church is the family of God, and together we are the body of Christ. And if people do not love the local church, they have no love for Christ. You cannot love Christ and not love his church. You are the thumb, Barry. That's why I love you. You got something about you of Christ in you that nobody else has. That's how it is. That's what people ask. You see people, you see qualities of Christ in people. And together, we are the body. And Christ, this is what you've got to realize. Christ, Often people say, Christ died for me. Here's a greater truth. Christ died for the church. The joy set before him was the church. We think so individually, but he died for the church. And when he died for the church, he's committed to the church, he builds the church, Acts 2 says he still adds to the church. His agenda is the church. When God looks at all the things going on in the world today, all the problems and all the nuclear weapons and all the terrorism, you know what God looks at? He looks at none of it. He just looks at the church. He says the solution to it all and everything I'm going to do is going to come through the church. And if you just commit and plant yourself and say, this is, and I don't care if it's this church, but find a church where you know God has led you. If it is this church or if it is, plant yourself. So this is my people. This is my home. I'm going to plant myself. I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to give to it. I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to attend it. I'm going to commit my life to that group of people, that work, what they're doing, I'm going to be committed to. I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to get a part of it. And as you simply commit to it, what happens as you do that spiritually, this is in the spirit, your roots are going down where the river is and the Holy Spirit starts to flow into your life. But it only comes in the spirit when there is a commitment. Those who are planted. And so many people don't thrive today because they're planted nowhere. They have no root. They're spiritual vagabonds. And I see this particularly when I go away, how committed people are to their pastor, to the elders, to the church they attend. They're so committed. And when you're planted, the Word of God says, even in your old age, like Moses, even when you're old, you're going to be bringing people to Christ. Your character's going to change. I've met people that are old that I believe are completely holy. They're completely holy. Their lives have been so changed and so sanctified by the Spirit of God that I believe... I believe they've become just like Christ. All of them, everyone who I've met like that, are committed to their church. They've got a deep commitment to the body of Christ. So it's commitment. That's the first psalm. Psalm 1, find a church where the Holy Spirit is moving and commit to it. Plant yourself. Say, they're my people. That's my family. That's my lot. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to love them. That's the place I'm going to be loved and love. That's the place I'm going to serve and be served. That's going to be my family. And you know what? It's not going to be perfect. And if someone criticizes a church, you know what you say? If someone says, that church is not right. How do you judge if those people are right or the church is right? The Bible says this, by the fruit you will know them. Someone criticizes a church and says, that church isn't right. Look at the fruit from their life. Are they still angry? How are their children? That's part of your fruit. That's how you judge. By the fruit. You look at someone's fruit out of their life. Someone, blessed is the man who works not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he delights, meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does prospers. But the ungodly are not so. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. Ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is the blessed man, the fruitful man. He brings forth its fruit in its season. There is a season for fruit. Sometimes you sow. It takes a while, but the fruit will appear in its season. Whose leaf shall not wither. Now, I believe the leaf in this palm, one of the things it represents is our children. The Bible says the righteous are blessed. sorry, the righteous are blameless and their children are blessed. Doesn't mean your children can't have problems. Doesn't mean they maybe walk away from God for a season. But long term, they'll come back. The righteousness, your righteousness will flow into your family. It'll affect your family and your children. So God wants you to be, this speaks about a man who is, a person who is like a tree planted by the water. There it is again. That's the Holy Spirit. Brings forth its fruit. Victory over sin, changed life, productive ministry, whose leaf shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Do you believe that God wants you to prosper emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, in whatever you do? That is the will of God, because the Word of God says God takes delight in the prosperity of his servants. God wants you to be fruitful, productive, and prosperous because he's a good father. Fruitful, productive, and prosperous. That's my life. More and more fruit. More and more productivity. More and more prosperity every year. That's his purpose. And he looks over me. He delights when I'm productive. He delights to see my change in my character. He delights to see people being saved through my baby. He delights to see his vineyard is producing fruit because that's why he chose it. That's why he planted us, the house of God. How does it come? How does this man who prospers in all things, who is fruitful in all things, how does it come? He's planted. So the Holy Spirit by the rivers. But it says here he delights in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. He delights in the law of God. And in the Word, he meditates day and night. He meditates on the Word of God day and night. Let me just say, he delights in the Word. There's one thing to be restrained by the Word of God. There's another thing to be delight in it. I just think of Balaam. He was be restrained by the Word of God. Didn't stop him sinning. But when you delight in the Word of God, it is so powerful. You know, let me just tell you something. This is what a lot of Christians are like today. A lot of Christians are like today. You come to see me and I'm the doctor. And you have a problem. And I say to you, I know what to fix it because I've studied and I understand your situation. And I've got the exact right drug. I give you a prescription for it. And it's going to fix your problem. You go away and you say, oh, thank you, doctor. It's been fantastic. And you go home. And 2 weeks later, you come back to the doctor. You say, my problem's still not fixed. And the doctor goes, I don't understand it because I gave you the prescription and it was the right prescription. And you say, oh, yeah, I got it filled, but it's still by the bedside table. I haven't taken it yet. We're all laughing. I want to tell you, that's how a lot of Christians, that's how they live today, their Bible. May be pretty, but spend so much time by the bedside table. I just want to tell you, this book is unlike any other book. This book is alive. It is living. It is a living book. It is the Word of God. The Word of God in creation, there was chaos and darkness. But when God spoke the Word in the power of the Holy Spirit, darkness and chaos was destroyed, and in its place came order and life. I want to tell you, when you simply read this word and do what it says every day, just do what it, and continue to do that, not just for a week, not for a month, but for a year. Just continue to read this and continue to persevere in this. I want to tell you, all darkness, it's not a secret. You don't need someone anointed to pray for you. All darkness and chaos will be replaced by God's blessing, order, and life. The Word of God is so powerful. It is so powerful. And all you need to do is do it. Where's Martin Taylor? He's the only one I think who remembers this. Martin, do you remember Darren? The fastest growing and most fruitful, the guy who went, I want to tell you, there's a guy who went from, when I first met him, he doesn't mind me telling you this, he lives up a bit north and he's a truck driver. And wherever he goes, whenever he stops his truck, he just gets out of his trucks and starts preaching the gospel. But when I met him, it was only a few years ago, he was, when we started the church 10 years ago, a little bit more, He was paralytic. He was a hopeless drunk who'd been drunk for 20 years or whatever. I don't know what it was. But since the age of 13, he'd been drinking. And every single day of his life, he drank one of those 4-litre casks of wine. And he was close to death. The doctor said he had 18 months and his liver and his kidneys would have packed up. And I met him. We were having our first ever healing night. And when I came to open the church, there he was. I had to step over him to open the church. And he was there. And he was drunk. And even when he'd come into the church, never underestimate the power of God. He came to the healing meeting and he was powerfully saved. He was powerfully, because the Spirit of God was moving in him. He got powerfully saved. But he came in, got powerfully saved. But that's not the big thing. His life changed so quickly. You can be saved and just your life not change. But his life changed so quickly. So quickly. He went from being the alcoholic guy, and they said, you can't get off this alcohol, you're so addicted, you're going to have Valium. You could have this drug called Valium because you're going to have shakes and all that sort of thing. He just said to me, he said, the Word of God just says I can get free. And he believed God. And we prayed for him one Bible study night. It's so hilarious how he got free. Next day he rang me up and he said, someone's poisoned my wine. I said, I don't know, Darren. I said, I'll come down and try to fix it. He's living in a boarding house. So I went down, and then he rang me from somewhere else. He's down at the bottle shop, and he was about to fight the guy in the bottle shop because the guy in the bottle shop had poisoned his wine until he figured out God had changed his appetites. But this guy, he went from completely broken, fatherless, no relationships, broken heart, just completely just in so much pain from life, to a guy who, you look at him, he just glowed with the joy and the peace of God. And he preached everywhere. His life changed. He got so free of all the sin. He became peaceful. He became patient. The character of Christ was formed to him so quickly. But you know how it happened? You know, I did it. He was illiterate. He could not read or write. So he came into that church every Sunday, and in those days I would preach and we'd produce these CDs. And the CD would be produced and burned before you left the church. Is that right? Yeah. Or was it? And so he would take the CD, and he didn't have a TV, so he'd take it back to the place where he lived, and every day for 5 days he would listen to that CD. He listened to the Word of God so much that today when I meet him, half of his conversations is my ex-sermons. It's the truth. He just spits it back to you. The Word of God got in him so quickly and so powerfully. The Word, that's all he did, was listen to the Word of God. And if you don't like reading, get CDs, get the Word of God. Just get it in you and start listening. And then he did another thing. He just said, not only listen, he said, I'm going to do what the Word of God says. And he is the most, I know Christians that have been Christians for 40 years and don't have the fruit that he had in 2. And all he did was listen to the Word. And he did what the Holy Spirit said to him when he read the Word. Let me just finish, quickly finish. I just read some scriptures about that because it's just not hard to be fruitful. Sometimes we think we've got to be some sort of giant. You've got to go to Bible school for 10 years. It's not hard to be fruitful. Just read the Word of God. Commit to your church. Do what the Holy Spirit convicts you when you read the Word of God. This is what James says. It's here somewhere. James 1 says this. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow and wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. There's things there that speak about doing and continuing. Doing and continuing. Read the Word, continue the Word. The Bible says that if you abide in my Word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. so you can be productive. I want to tell you, years ago I had a spirit of anxiety. I was fearful of fear. I was fearful of everything. I was fearful of tomorrow. I was fearful of future. I was fear of lack. I was fear of, I just had fear. A spirit of fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear, love of parents, but I had fear. I had a spirit of fear over my life. And I knew it was there, and I was in Bible school, and I didn't know what to do about it. But I came into the knowledge of the understanding of the importance of reading the Word. And I just read the Word and continued to read the Word. I read the Word and continued to read the Word. I read the Word and continued to read the Word. And then one day, I can't tell you when, but one day I remember woke up thinking, I'm not afraid anymore. And I've never been afraid again. The truth, if you abide in the Word, will make you free. This book works. It is so powerful. When you just read it and do it, just as in creation, it takes whatever is dark of the devil, chaotic, simply by reading it in the Spirit, God starts to work in your life and brings order and life. I can't even tell you how it happens or why it happens, but it's the work of God. The man who prospers, the man whose his delight is in the, he meditates on it. That's just not a quick reading. It's actually a, what does Proverbs say? I forget, but it's kind of like commit yourself, like read it in a way. Do you know the word? Meditate. Yeah, well, you're just like. I hate it when I can't remember the word of God like that, but that's it. Yeah, I think it's in Proverbs 4 or something. It's about putting it in your heart, getting the word. It's like, I think it's to commit the word of God to your heart. But it's basically, don't just read the word of God like a newspaper. Don't read it lightly. What does it say? There you go. Because what it is, just to finish, you know, Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower. The word, when it comes, when I preach today, the word gets sown and the devil tries to snatch it. And he says, some people have no root, and so when temptation, persecution get, the word's lost. And other people, riches and the cares of the world overtake them, and the word becomes unfruitful. So the key to a changed life is the word getting into the right and being retained in the heart. So because the first thing the devil wants to do when you leave here today is to snatch what you've heard out of your mind so you become unproductive and fruitful. But what you need to do, you need to meditate on the word. You need to commit to it. You need to have a serious commitment. Say, in my life, I can read my phone all day. I can watch TV all day. From this day forward, I'm actually going to make a serious commitment to reading and understanding and doing the word of God this day, today, whatever it is, January, whatever. I've lost track of the date. This is the day I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm going to get serious with the word of God. I want to tell you, in 12 months' time, you'll come to me and say, Pastor, my life has changed. I'm fruitful. I'm productive. I'm more like Jesus. I'm serving people. My wife loves me when she hated me. Everything is changing. Everything is, I'm telling you, just by the word of God. I know it sounds funny, but I'm being deadly serious. Deadly serious. Commit to this. Hearing God through this book. Just believe God's going to speak to you. And yes, some days the word of God's more alive than others. Same in my life. But don't stop. Other days you'll pick it up. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit, it will move. It'll just jump out at you and you will know God has spoken into your heart. And it is unforgettable. It is the most glorious thing in the world where you get rhema. The Holy Spirit quickens this word to your life. And you just do it and your life changes. Let me just finish. I'll just read it again. Because the word of God itself. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means who's not a hypocrite. But his delight is in the word of God. And on the word he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaves shall not wither, whatever it does shall prosper. Father, I just thank you. It is your desire that all your children experience the joy of a fruitful life. of a prosperous life. And Father, you haven't made it hard for us, Lord. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, the enemy will try to snatch the word. But Father, when we are committed to your house, when we are committed to your word, Lord, you just move. You just change. You just deliver. You just heal. You just break things off us. You just fight our battles. You just open doors. You just give us jobs. Lord, you prosper us because, Lord, you are the word become flesh. And we are committed to your word. You see, we are committed and we love you. Father, every barren area today, every barren life, every barren heart, every barren family, Father, I speak fruitfulness in the name of Jesus over our lives for 2019. I speak it because that is what you are speaking to me in the Holy Spirit, that we shall be fruitful through our dedication to your house, our commitment to your word in 2019. Everything that is barren, Lord, when you touch it, when you touch Hannah's barren womb, she didn't have one child, she had six, Lord, because you are a God who came and died not to give us life, but to give us life in abundance. Father, let your abundance come into our life. Abundant peace, abundant joy, abundant gentleness, abundant self-control. Father, the very nature of Christ, let that fruitfulness, let that fruit manifest in our lives in 2019. Let us experience the joy of having our character change, of seeing our kids love us, of seeing our wives love. Lord, let us experience the joy of seeing people come to Christ through you, Lord. Let us experience the joy of producing fruit. In 2019, Lord, it shall be so in Jesus' mighty name. Stand up and praise him. He has given us his word. Stand up and praise him because he's going to change everything that is barren into fruitfulness and abundance in 2019. Believe it. Do the word of God and it shall happen.